You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan Orlovsky is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. But the number, as you know, and we are getting the calls put together, and I do promise, we are actually going to take one right now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram. And Bart, before we take the call, I want to read you a couple of the tweets that we got reacting to some of the stuff we talked about in the first hour of the show. So, Professor Biz said Bart just created a new phrase, roller coaster pain. And he said, and he even added sound effects to demonstrate, I almost lost control of my car laughing so hard. And then there's a gif of, I can't see who that is, just about to just destroy Tom Brady with a hit. And I know you've had the pleasure of those moments as well. And that sound of breath coming out of a man, you say, is probably, sounds like what again?
It can sound like something else too, but you know when you're about to go down and you want to be tough in front, and you see a lot of this little slingshot thing that people got when they're like, I don't want to go anymore, and then they pass out. They just give it
up. That's got to be the best feeling though when you get to the at the end of the tackle, you're on top of the player and you just heard the breath come out of them.
Yeah,
that's the payoff, isn't it?
Because you know they say, what they say is they say you can't put all your body weight on it, but if you do it just right, you put all your body weight on it. Could you imagine the best one I ever seen was when Tony Siragusa got Rich Gannon in the playoffs right before the Super Bowl, and he separated his shoulder. But man, you just saw all that little fat just reverberated. Just like, it was like a Kamala smash. It was like a Yokozuna in the corner on the chest top. You know what I mean? It was just like, man, sometimes you can get players like that. And it don't matter if you're a big guy. All you have to do is weigh more than them. And if you can tackle their arms, and you land on them, it ain't nothing to stop them from hitting the ground. Mm. Like when you get underneath their arms, they can put their arm down and kind of brace the fall. But man, when you get both of their arms wrapped around.
People need to understand, man. People need to understand.
Dan's probably, you guys remember training day? You ever got your stuff pushed in, bro? I've had my stuff pushed in. I know Dan has had his stuff pushed in.
That's perfect way to bring in Dan Orlovsky right now. He joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, in your years in the NFL, Bart is describing the joy from a defensive player of tackling an offensive player and hearing the breath come out of him. Do you know that from an offensive player's perspective by any chance?
Yeah, unfortunately. I don't know if it's stuffed in as the way. God, I got hit one time. Gosh, Bart, you might remember his name. Who was the guy who's the defensive end for Minnesota years ago? Ray something. Ended up being like a boxer. Big dude. I forget his name.
I know what you're talking about. He's a boxer. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
Like a 280, 290-pound defensive end. And he hit me up top, and I got Kevin Williams at my hip, and I just remember getting up and being like, and I couldn't breathe, and both them looked at me and laughed, and I was a young kid, and I was like, I literally couldn't breathe, and I was like, and they were just looking at me laughing, and I was like, oh, this is the NFL.
They was like, got him!
Yeah, right. Hey, as Dad, Chris Kenny once said, there's real killers out there.
Dan, the NFL. Dan, I don't want to beat around the bush with you, Dan, because listen, Ray Edwards, we rarely ever agree on anything. We rarely ever agree on anything. But man, if we aren't lockstep with what I feel about Sam Darnold, but what the San Francisco 49ers did was dangerous. I don't want to say dangerous, right? What they did was risky, because if they move all the way up from 12 to 3 and give all that draft equity up to get Mac Jones and pass on Trey Lance, he could potentially be Mitchell Trubisky. Am I wrong? Am I tripping?
Well, I'd say this. The difference between a guy like Mac Jones and Mitchell Trubisky was athlete that they thought they could make a quarterback, and they drafted off the athletic traits, where Mac Jones is a guy that is unquestionably a quarterback that you have to go, are his athletic, quote-unquote, limitations in comparison to some of the other guys the flaw that we can't overcome? And I don't think that San Francisco looks at it, because here's the thing, like Matt Ryan, who I've comped Mac Jones to for, you know, months now, Matt Ryan ran 4.89. Well, Mac Jones ran 4.83. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo ran 4.97. Mac Jones ran 4.83. So he's a better athlete, or at least equally athletic. And I know straight line speed isn't everything, but it's at least in the conversation. I think Kyle Shanahan realizes that he's just a great offensive mind. He's had three top five offenses, all three with different kinds of quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, and RG3. I don't think that he's sitting there going, I got to have a crazy expensive quarterback. I think he's going, okay, Mac Jones is really good. He fits exactly what I want to do. I can get for him for 5 years on the cheap. Would I rather have Jimmy Garoppolo or Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins that are really expensive? Or would I rather have Mac Jones that I'm going to make really good, and then that gives us 5 years of financial freedom in our organization? That's why I have thought for 4 weeks now that they want Mac Jones.
But you couldn't have got Mac Jones at 12? So, you're saying he's not expensive. He is expensive. And draft equity, that is very expensive. So that means you're not going to have three first-round draft picks, some second-round picks. These are the guys that are the foundation of your team. And you're giving them away for Matt Jones. And you could have got him at, outside of New England. Who was connected to Matt Jones?
Well, I think is the question, could you have gotten him at 12? Fair. It's the same thing with the Giants years ago with Daniel Jones. Could you have gotten him at 17 and not 6? I can tell you this. I guarantee you that New Orleans would have been intrigued by Mac Jones. I guarantee you that Pittsburgh would have been intrigued by Mac Jones. Carolina. So, like, you have to figure out, do you roll the dice? Now, what would you rather have? The roster or the financial flexibility or the first-round pick? It depends on who you think you are as an organization. Like, some teams, they want the first-round pick. Well, I would rather have some financial flexibility because I'm paying for a proven commodity in the NFL. When I go into free agency, I'm paying for guys that I know can play rather than first-round draft picks that I think can play, whether my draft history is really good or not. I think they can play.
That's always the debate, right? Whether which way you want to go, because it's always about the younger player, and you kind of buy yourself time that way. And everybody talks about the rookie contracts as well. But you go with, if you have cap space, you want to go with established players that you already know have a track record of success. It's Barton Hahn. We're talking with Dan Orlovsky on the Goodyear Hotline. So Dan, all right, if the Niners move up to 3 and have their target at 3. What does that say for the Jets? Mike Tannenbaum believes that they are now all in on Zach Wilson after, of course, his amazing pro day that we all got very excited about on Friday. Mm. But for you, do you think that's a given now?
Yeah, I think the Jets, as of Friday, are going to take Zach Wilson. I will say this. I think pro days are stupid. I don't care what you do in shorts. You're never going to do it in real life. But I do think they're going to take Zach Wilson. Let me say this, though, because, yeah, you got to see all the talent at Pro Day. Great. We've all watched the games or tape, and we see his talent. I am very much so in my own camp. He better be just as good off the field. Because for him to dig that organization out of the dump, it's not going to just be because he could throw a ball falling to his left across the field. That arm is not going to do it itself. He better have the competitive fire of Lamar Jackson. That is catapulted Baltimore, and he better be the guy that makes his teammates fall in love with him like Josh Allen has done in Buffalo, and he better be the moxie that Baker Mayfield's done in Cleveland, and he better be the alpha leader that Patrick Mahomes has done in Kansas City. That's part of the reason why those guys have catapulted their teams. Talented, yes, but off the field, they're great. And I think Zach Wilson, because of the situation in New York, has to go be spectacular. He can't be an upgrade over Sam Darnold, just a slight upgrade, because it's not you're just get like the Jets are taking him at 2. That's pressure in and of itself. But the Jets are taking him at 2, getting rid of a young player at that position that they had just taken at the 3rd draft slot 3 years ago, and also passing on likely 3 or 4 more first round draft picks. That is pressure, that is stress, and that is burden. Zach Wilson is going to have to be great for for that move to be quote unquote justified.
I'm so glad you said that, because I absolutely believe the same thing with Wilson. I think it's got to go beyond the field, and a guy that has a headband with sayings on it, a guy that's really trying to draw a lot of attention to himself. I worry so much about that when you bring that element to New York, where you know, obviously, the minute he's drafted, he's now going to become, you know, the next Lion King, and everybody's going to want to believe in him, and a lot of attention goes with it. How does he handle it? Because the thing I love most about Sam Darnold is since day one, he has kept that kind of humble persona. Mm-hmm. He has been that guy off the field that you love. When you interview him, he gives you – it's always the same with him. Now, again, the model thing, how he got it, it's in the past. But I just think the way he handled himself off the field was made it that big of a deal. So that's going to be important. If we can go on to the other team in New York, and that is the New York Football Giants, the owner said that he believes Daniel Jones is good enough to lead the Giants to a Super Bowl. Do you see Daniel Jones as that guy, and do you feel like this is a huge year for him, just a prove-it year for Danny Dimes?
One, I do not see Daniel Jones as that guy. Two, it would have been great if Mayer came out and said no. You know, I'm being you know, but we're going to keep him anyway.
Right.
Here's my thing right now with the Giants, because I've gotten into it a little bit with the Giants fans over the last 24 hours or so. Dude, if you guys think that this is a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones, that's on you as a fan. Do you expect progress? Absolutely. But it's unrealistic to think that he's going to take this Josh Allen type of third-year jump. This one of the worst offensive lines in football. So, yeah, fingers crossed Saquon comes back, and he's Saquon that we've seen in the NFL with some of his flashes when he's healthy. Great. And Kenny Golladay, certainly. But they, like, Kenny Golladay, the highest-paid free agent receiver this year, like, I'm not on board with that upgrade, no doubt about it. But, like, I'm not expecting Daniel Jones just to catapult, because he doesn't have Josh Allen's Buffalo Bills offensive line. He didn't get his Stephon Diggs. He doesn't have his Cole Beasley. And he doesn't have his Brian Daboll. And so do I expect progress out of Daniel Jones? Yes. But this is for the reason why I get so frustrated with football teams in the NFL. Because they take a guy at six, and they expect him to be something that he's not. Taking a guy at six should be a guy that can carry an organization, cover up for deficiencies. And he's not that player. But they are going to expect him to be this year. And now, you know what conversation we're going to have a lot about Daniel Jones, in my opinion, 9 months from now? The same one that the Jets are having about Sam Darnold. You know what? He's not what he thought we were going to be, but have you really supported him? So, like, it's that they're going to be in that kind of situation where, like, uh-oh, what do we do?
Yeah, here's the difference to me about, you know, Danny Dimes' situation opposed to Sam Darnold. I think they have supported him with an offense that can propose a lot of problems for defense. They have two tight ends. I think it allows Ingram to be able to be in a slot where he's more comfortable not having to secure the edge. I think you can kind of cover up for Nate Solder. We don't know what he is, but you can cover him up with a tight end. I don't know if they're going to put him at left tackle or right tackle. Thomas was better at the end of the season. And if they decide to go with their first-round draft pick with the best available offensive lineman to try and replace Zeitler or, you know, upgrade at the center position, then I think Daniel Jones has no excuse not to have the same improvement that Josh Allen has. I believe he's an underrated runner of the football. I think he's just a tick underneath Josh Allen as far as being able to run and create with his RPOs. He's more athletic than people give him credit for. But it's going to come down to Saquon Barkley. Can Saquon Barkley pull that eighth man in the box? Because I think the conversation after this year isn't about Daniel Jones. It's about that at number two, like we always say, that's supposed to be a gold jacket, and Saquon Barkley hasn't lived up to expectations. Now, you can say it's because maybe he's injured, but he's no McCaffrey. And we were sold a bill of goods that he was McCaffrey. He was a guy that was going to be able to be a 1,000-1,000 guy. Right, and he hasn't been durable, and he hasn't made his team better. So I think this is more about Saquon Barkley, and do we pick up his option? Do we sign him long term, or do we allow him to walk? Than it is about Danny Dimes.
I agree with that point in regards to two things: the offensive line. Like, I think that if somehow Penei Sewell fell to them, or they take Rashawn Slater and they hit, you know, because there's Andrew Thomas right now looks like a relatively fair question mark. If they hit, then, yeah, the conversation gets expedited for Daniel Jones. But they got to give him an offensive line to actually function consistently. He's had one game. In his last 18 games, he's had one game that has gone over two touchdown passes. He's had that many games that have gone over three interceptions. He's had two games to go over 300 yards. He's had four to go under 200 yards. So, like, I get it that you want to see progress. But I agree, the worst thing that could happen to the Giants organization this season is that Saquon Barkley is good. Not great and not terrible, but good. Yep. Because the last thing you want to do is pay a bunch of money to a guy that has been good but injury-ridden.
Yeah, and you know what that's going to be. That's going to be $15 million because he's going Correct. To be the gold standard, because it's not about what Saquon Barkley brings on the field. It's what he brings off the field and how he carries himself. So you're going to have to reward him if he has an okay good season, because they're going to project is he going to be better next year, 2 years from the ACL.
Yep. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Dan, it was great insight, as always. Good to talk to you, and it'll be interesting to see what happens on both sides. Wait, what? You have the same birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's why we're strong, opinionated people.
Yeah, man.
Now it makes sense.
What are you going to turn? Bart, you turn 52 this summer?
Ta ha ha. No, I say I turn the same age as your suit, 20.
Danny, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Be good, fellas.
Take it easy. All right, take it easy. That was Dan Orlovsky giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Loaded, son.
No contract, no compromise. There's no doubt about that. Let's grab a couple of calls here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Interesting what he said there, too, about Daniel Jones and the Giants. I mean, you know, that's a take I wasn't expecting, actually, but it's pretty strong if you think about it. And it's true. What is John Merrick going to say when he's asked, you know, do you think he can take you to the Super Bowl? I don't know.
Because
the minute you show hesitation, that's the headline. It's a bigger headline than that you believe that he can.
Yeah. See, I think Daniel Jones' floor is Alex Smith. I think his floor is a lot higher than Sam Darnold's.
That's not terrible. Yeah,
I think his floor is a lot higher.
The way you
than
just
Sam
described
Darnold.
Floors and ceilings versus Sam Darnold, yeah, it means you're a lot higher
now,
on him.
I think his ceiling's the same, maybe slightly. He's bordering like Josh Allen. He can, if he had a Josh Allen season, I wouldn't be surprised. He's shown me special on numerous occasions. Like, he's been fighting, you know, against what he was dealing with, the bad offensive line, no running game, and he still was making
guys turnovers
special.
Too, though.
Yeah, but that's the Junior Whopper hands. That's tied that's tied in to protection as well. Let's take
no
a
doubt
call.
About it. Let's take a call. Yeah, I think we have Chris in Florida. Chris?
Yes, hi guys. I got a scenario with that number two pick with the Jets. Obviously, the value of it just went up, and I'm kind of with Bart on giving Sam an opportunity with talent around him. Atlanta needs a quarterback. Carolina needs a quarterback. Denver needs a quarterback. They're all talking about those teams possibly wanting to move up. What if the Jets sold that pick for a lot of draft capital to Atlanta at number four? People assume the top four picks are going to probably be quarterbacks. So if you're sitting at number four and you're the final spot for a quarterback, who's to say you don't turn that pick and flip it to Carolina or Denver on even more draft capital? You could essentially wind up with four to five first round picks next year.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I like that. Flipping twice, man. Flipping twice and then taking Penei Sewell. You know what I mean? Right after, like, you know.
But isn't that what the Dolphins? The Dolphins just did that, right? The Dolphins just flipped twice.
Yeah, yep.
Right.
But they moved back up. Yeah, I mean, listen, that's a very great thing. You know, if you can flip it twice, if you can get two first-round draft picks by moving back twice, two futures, and then now next year you got four first-round draft picks.
Like, you still think there's a chance that a Carolina –
Oh, yes.
Maybe, you know, or
Carolina.
Atlanta.
Listen, Chicago.
You think Carolina is that team, right, that would be aggressive to jump up the two? And so that's maybe what Joe Douglas is waiting on?
Listen, they think that Denver, to me, is the one. Because Denver has a championship-caliber defense, right? Von Miller's coming back. They're probably going to try, you know, so they got that. Locker is not the answer. Drew Locke is not the answer.
Yeah, clearly.
You look at their skill positions, man, with Sutton coming back. You got Judy. You got
Loaded.
Fant. Where do you start? Melvin Gordon? Like, come on, man. Like, let's go. Let's go. Chop, chop. Look, Vic Fangio understands that he got to be all in now. Vic Fangio, like, 65 years old. He ain't got time to be wasted. He on deck. He about to be going fishing in a little bit.
now you're throwing around shade about how old somebody is. Well, but you're right, though, about the skill set there. There's no doubt. And then quarterback seems to be that place. Who was it we talked to?
Who
we talked to there that was making it pretty clear that if Deshaun Watson at the time would have been available, he'd be all over it.
Exactly.
God, who was it from that team that we were talking to a couple of weeks ago? But either
was
way.
Was it Juju?
No. Okay. Never mind. I'm drawing a blank. This is what happens when you just, you know, work too much, too much information. Yeah, it's all good. And I'm not making excuses, not at all. But we will keep the calls rolling. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. For those listening on 98.7 ESPN in New York City, Michael Kay, he starts his show right after ours at 2
See
o'clock.
Ya.
That's a new time now on 98.7 in New York. So we want to let you know about it because we're excited about leading into his show once again like we used to back in the day when we
See
were also local
ya.
In New York as well. So we have that happening on the show. We got audio files coming up. We're going to keep rolling with your calls as well. Buffet is open. NFL, NBA, March Madness, whatever it is on your mind, we'll get to it. But first, Bart has this from Zip Recruiter.
The football offseason is always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coach hires. Teams have to be excited for the upcoming season. If you want to hire people that you'll be really excited about, then team up with Zip Recruiter. ZipRecruiter matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter gets a qualified candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to the exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn. Bart Scott. ESPN Radio. ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Bart, what do you think? Do we go straight into audio files? Do we grab a call? Dealer's choice. Pick it.
We love the people, man. Let's hear from the
people,
man.
We do love the people. Yeah, we do love the people.
We are because of them.
Let's take Mel in New Jersey. Go ahead, Mel.
Hey, man. Everybody talks about the Nets, you know, making a super team and whatnot, but I'm going to give some credit to the coach, you know. I think a lot of players might want to be coached by and learn stuff from Steve Nash. There's not really another two-time MVP coach in the NBA.
Steve Nash making an impact, and you wonder if players want to go play for him because he knows how to handle stars. Thanks, Mel. What about Todd in California? Todd, what are you feeling?
Hey, man. Thank you for letting me on, and great show as usual. But I ain't feeling that at all. Signing Aldridge and Griffin is really more of an indication that Durant is more hurt than they're letting on. And Ooh. Let me say, nobody's playing for Steve Nash. He's just rolling out the ball. And then lastly, without Kevin Durant, I don't care how good Harden and Irving are playing, they're certainly not getting out of the East without Durant. Philly will beat them. And if they somehow get past Philly, they're going to get squashed by the West. Durant, without him, is not a championship. And these signings of has-beens are just an indication he's still too hurt to play. Thank you.
You got it. So Malika Andrews reported, just so you know, Malika Andrews reported this last night or yesterday, Kevin Durant not playing tonight against the Timberwolves, continues to rehab. There's doubt he'll play this week, and he's been out since February 13th, Bart, so well over a month now for him. Although Steve Nash said that he looks good and is progressing, but they still need to monitor him. He still needs to get a certain amount of markers under his belt, is how they put it, before he gets back to game action. You will get Kyrie back tonight against Minnesota. But what did you think? That was a talk about a contrast of two different takes on the Nets.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you got to worry about Joel Embiid health as well, right? So I think, you know, this is what happens, right? It's about who's healthy, the healthiest, you know, really has a better chance to be successful, because it's about the availability. And I think that Kevin Durant, they're not rushing him back because understand the history. This is a guy that missed almost 2 years for the coming back from the Achilles injury. So once he has a hamstring injury, those are all tied together. Listen, they're saying we're winning without him. We don't really care about if we're in the first place or second place. We're good being first or second seed in the East. We can handle our business. We just want to make sure that Kevin's healthy because he is the linchpin that brings this all together, because he's the guy that you can't defend. How do you defend against three great scorers who can all handle the ball and create their own shot and set each other up? So they want to make sure they're doing their due diligence and not going out. I'm not worried about Milwaukee, because at the end of the day, it always falls back to Giannis' inability to hit big-time shots and be able to shoot when teams get an opportunity to see his speed, see how he gets up the floor, and see how he tries to. You ever notice he steps back, and then he'll try and get a run ahead start, and then people just make defense. It's like, okay, I'll just get charged. I'll just take the charge. So yeah, I'm concerned with Milwaukee, even though they've been playing great since the All-Star break. I think probably the best record in basketball since then. I know they had a bunch of people out against the Knicks the other day, but I'm not concerned with them. I think this in the East comes down to Philly, and it comes down to either Brooklyn.
Yeah, and Miami, don't sleep on Miami either. I still think that's going to – you're going to hear from them.
There's no bubble. There's no bubble.
You're still going to hear from them at some point. There's no doubt about it. Now, the contrasting takes on the Nets doesn't stop with the callers. In fact, you'll hear it when it comes to audio files. All right, Barton Hahn, audio files, ESPN Radio. What we do is we stop talking and we let the headline makers do the talking for us. Of course, we react to it. So let's begin on that front, shall we? When it comes to the Nets and Brian Windhorst talking about the addition of LaMarcus Aldridge, and everybody got excited about it. Oh, this all-star power forward leaves the Spurs, signs with the Nets. This is a huge signing. Goes along with Blake Griffin. What do you think, Wendy? Are you excited about this?
I'm not really excited about the LaMarcus Aldridge addition. I know that a lot of people were hyperventilating about the idea of them adding another big-name player. You know, he may help them in a playoff game or two because he has the ability to have breakout games. And if he does help them in a playoff game or two, then he will have delivered. I really like what they've been getting out of their second-year center, Nick Claxton, who is this really athletic, rangy big man who can switch out and defend on people. He can you know, he can put the ball in the basket a little bit. He had been playing great, and if they reduce his playing time to force LaMarcus Aldridge out there, I don't know if that's what they need. I think their victory on LaMarcus Aldridge is that they kept him away from their competition. They kept him away from Miami. They kept him away from the Lakers or the Clippers or the Celtics. In that regard, it's a victory. I don't think it really materially changes their chances to win the whole thing.
I agree with Wendy, but Bart, what do you think of the fact that the Heat believed that Aldridge was signing with them? I mean, that was the report was, all right, they just got Oladipo, now they're going to add Aldridge. Everybody believed it, and then all of a sudden, about face. If you're the Heat, you got to feel a certain way about that.
Oh, yeah, you just feel the type of way. You know, listen, Pat Riley and that crew takes things personally. So, I mean, if they're on a collision course, I can love to see what they try and do.
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg and beat them up down the court. Yeah, I'm sure they'll use that as motivation, saying that, you know, they thought that he thought that going to the Nets secured that he was going to have a championship run. And you chick Rome like Attila, like he picked against Attila. He picked Attila in Lionheart, you know what I'm saying? I told you, man, 50-50 straight down the line, man. It's all on Attila. Wrong bet.
Wrong bet. Barton Hahn, we have audio files, and we continue to roll on with audio files, staying with the net topic. But this time, as you mentioned, no Kevin Durant over the last, let's say, month and plus, yet they still continue to win. Why? Because they have James Harden, who's doing it all. 40-10-5 games, 29 of them in his career, more than anybody in the last, 25 years? Like, what he's doing, you haven't seen in the NBA. And it's also leading to winning. So with that in mind, James Harden, people are not talking about him enough as MVP, and he knows it. So guess who decided to talk about how James Harden should be an MVP? James Harden did. Take a listen.
Do you think that your game has grown even more since your last MVP season? And do you feel like you belong in those conversations again this year?
but I feel like I belong in it. I feel like I am the MVP. I mean, it's that simple.
He feels like he belong. Well, he is the MVP. Well, it's that simple. You're supposed to feel that way as a player, though, right, Bart?
You ain't supposed to say it. Like, no. Damn, you're supposed to let other people
Nobody
say
else
it,
is.
How about humility? It's okay, James. Everything is working out in your corner. LeBrick is hurt. You think about Embiid is hurt, right? All your competition is hurt. Only person is Jokic, but you have a better record than them. So just be calm. Show some humility. You got everybody on you. Listen, you turned around your biggest hater. Alan Hahn is a believer now. He loves this version of James Harden. If you can turn his eyes around, you can change the hearts and minds. If eyes can change and yous can change, then we all can change. Come on, man. You change Alan Hahn around, it's like changing the Soviet Union during the Cold War, man, to like Americans. Stop it. They clap for you. They're clapping for you now, James. Just be a little humble, bro. You know
Great Rocky IV reference, by the way. Great Rocky IV reference, no doubt about it. Let's finish with some baseball as the season begins.
See
opening
ya.
Day, Thursday, April 1st. And yes, Michael K. Show for those in New York City on 98.7 ESPN. The K. Show will start right at the end of our show. We'll
hot
lead
fire,
into
hot
him.
Fire, hot fire.
Breathing that hot fire. The fellas talking a lot of Yankee baseball. But how about some Met baseball? How about our good friend Buster Olney and his feeling about Jacob DeGrom, a two-time Cy Young winner, who he believes can not only do that one more time, but could take it a step further. Listen to this take.
When you're seeing what Jacob DeGrom is doing, where he, you know, his velocity now has gone up 4 miles per hour in 4 years, and he's in his early 30s, I think he's ascending in a way that reminds me of when Pedro Martinez was at his absolute apex, you know, 1999, 2000, when Sandy Koufax, you know, 63 through 65, Clayton Kershaw in his very best years. DeGrom is reaching that level to the point that when I turn in my picks for ESPN.com, I'm going to pick DeGrom to win the National League MVP. I think he's going to have that
yes,
type of a
the
season.
MVP?
The MVP,
wow.
Especially backed by that offense, because he's that dominant.
Whoo, MVP bar. Well, listen to this. It's not so crazy. Jacob DeGrom won Cy Young in back-to-back years in 2018, 2019. He won 10 games in 2018 to win the Cy Young, but of course the ERA was 1.70, minuscule. In 2019, he won 11 games and a 2.43 ERA. Last year, he didn't win the Cy Young. He only had 4-2 record because it was a 2020 season. It was shortened by the pandemic. A 2.38 ERA, actually better than the year before. He gets a million no decisions because his team blew so many leads or did not give him run support. So can you imagine now with Francisco Lindor, with some of the additions they've made to this team, they might actually score runs, they might actually keep the lead, and he might get more wins. So that could be the case. That certainly can happen, and Buster Olney certainly feels that way. That is Audio Files, and we are Bart and Hanna. We are brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. Coming up, we take your calls. We want to hear from you. We go a little roulette like we did in the morning. It's a lot of fun to do it, so let's do it here as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on Bart and Hanna. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart Scott, you know what's coming up. If you're in New York City on 98.7 ESPN, you got Michael K. You got the Michael K. Show, Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, the whole crew. They start at 2 p.m. now Eastern. They've moved into the 2 p.m. slot in New York City, which means we get to be connected to them again, which is a great feeling, right? We loved having them when we would lead into them back in the day when you and I were a New York-centric show, New York local show, leading into them. Now we get to do that again. Yeah, it just seems like we just keep moving around. But that's awesome. So that's coming up if you're in New York City. But right now coming up here, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the few minutes we have left with you, We're just going to take as many calls as we can. So just say your name. I'm going to say your name, where you're from. You get right to the question because we're doing great. We're happy to have you. We thank you for calling. Just get right to the question. So we begin with Matt in Pennsylvania. Matty, what's up? You okay? You all right, dog?
Hello?
Yeah, there you are. What's up, man? Yep, yep, we got
you. Hey, how we doing?
Good.
How we doing? Sorry about that. Quick question. With the way things are looking, like the league's going to go to 17 games, mainly for Bart, do you think they might actually try and do like the load management thing like they do in basketball? I know you can't take
sit-out
any
games?
Opponent, like, not seriously, but I don't know how much one game is actually going to add. Because, like, I'm asking you because you went through seasons. Is one game going to make that big of a difference?
Yeah, that's a good question. What you see is you can see teams when they get ahead and they know that they secure a victory, maybe trying to rest their quarterbacks or rest certain positions, especially the 30 and older crew. Like 30 and older, we already do that anyway. Like they don't practice on certain days. They get certain days off. But I think what's interesting is if they're going to expand the game day roster, that's something they're going to have to do because if you start getting guys go down, you're going to have as many – you're going to have access to your entire roster,
yeah.
Not maybe only putting people up 46 out of 53. You got to build up all 53 and expand practice squad.
I think Matty also is asking from a fantasy football perspective too. You got to watch that. That could affect fantasy football big time. Alex in Michigan. Alex, what's up, man?
All right, so I've been hearing a lot of this Jets talk with them, you know, taking Zach Wilson possibly and then moving off of Sam. I keep hearing Chicago's linked to that, and I really, really don't like that because, honestly, Chicago is just Adam Gase 2.0. Matt Nagy's not going to do anything for Sam,
wow.
and look what he did with Mitch.
Yeah, I mean, that's – and he was brought in there to actually take Trubisky to the next level, right? So, but, you know, it remains to be seen, of course. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess Andy Dalton is QB1.
We'll see. They still got Nick Foles, but they're going to have three veteran
quarterbacks.
They're going to have three veteran quarterbacks, so they're going to send back us. I got it. They're going to send us back Nick Foles in a three, and Nick Foles is going to be our veteran backup to Zach Wilson if they do that. That's something
whoever
that could
the kid
work.
Is.
That is
okay.
Something that could work, but I might need Khalil Mack or somebody else too.
Oh my goodness. I don't know if you're getting that. David in Arizona. David.
Hey guys, how's it going? I was just wondering if there's any chance that you think that the Phoenix Suns could mess around and win the West. And if they did and Devin Booker ends up a 28-5-5 guy, you see any chance of him having any chance at winning the league MVP?
Oh my goodness. Let's see. So that would mean that LeBron James and Anthony Davis would not come back for the season. The Clippers would implode, which happened last year. Denver would have all kinds of injuries, including Jokic. And then the Utah Jazz would just stop playing basketball. I'm sorry, man. I don't mean to be the wet blanket on your team. It's a great season they're having, a good rebound. Like they're re-arriving as a franchise, and Devin Booker's leading the way, even though Chris Paul's getting
number
all the attention.
Number two overall.
But, man, record. winning the West?
Tell me this. Can they upset Utah? How does Ayton go against Gobert? I've never seen them in a matchup together, but those are two tall guys that are
I don't know,
players.
Man. I love the way the Suns are playing. There's no doubt about it, and I think Booker is a great talent. There's no question. But I know where they are in the standings, but where are they in reality? And I think in reality, if you're power ranking fifth, right? Like if you're power ranking fifth, I need a little more track record before I'm ready to give them that kind of respect. All right, Bart Scott, this was a lot of fun. I'll see everybody tomorrow morning on KJZ and tonight on MSG with the Knicks. K-Show coming up next in New York City.
You're like a Haymon.
I know.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.